All right, it's kind of ironic that she asked me to speak. As soon as she started talking to me, I knew it wasn't to, like, water her plants or anything like a good neighbor. Because the Lord has been talking to me about a few things in my personal life for a couple weeks now. And it's in an area that I've had to work on and I've needed to move up on. And you know, just thoughts. The one day I was actually working on in the house something, and the word came to me so strong. It's like it came, I don't know if you ever had a thought that is like almost in bold letters in your mind, and it was just the word distraction. And so as I'm doing things around the house and stuff, it's just, I just was dwelling on it, and the thoughts were just coming, some of it pertaining to me personally, some of it just in general to the topic. And I did think of the youth when I was reading on this stuff later. And so when she asked me, I was kind of like, oh, I had a feeling this might be coming. But specifically concerning distraction, concerning devotion time, reading and praying, even as far as I am down the road, maybe compared to some of you, it still is something I have to work on. It's a daily, you know, thing you have to keep up on. So I'm going to talk to you about distractions a little bit tonight. Distractions can vary from one person to another. We're not always all distracted by the same things. An example would be my children. Carly can listen to Adventures in Odyssey and be reading a book. And I'm like, how? I don't know. I'm not sure if she's really retaining it, but she seems to do well. And then you've got my son, on the other hand, it has to be silent in the room when he reads. I mean silent, like door closed, no movement. He even really likes these headphones, noise reducing. And when he's doing homework and actually has to focus, you know, he usually wears those. And that's how different, you know, they can be. Another example of distraction, just from person to person, is me. I like music on almost all the time at home. And Pandora is almost always on. And the kids can be running around, it can be kind of crazy, and it's in the background, and I hear it, and it's relaxing to me, I don't mind it. My husband comes home, and there's noise, there's kids, he's trying to tell me something, and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is like, wah, and he's like, turn it off. Like, so it's very different, you know, we're all kind of different. Those are daily life things that don't really matter as much. You know, you can work on those things. But there are some distractions that are more serious, like when you think of driving, being distracted, texting, anything, eating, even goofing around. That can be deadly to you or someone else. I think of like in factories, construction work, my husband's work, if you're distracted, he can be severely burnt. His partners, they can get really hurt at their work. So I want to talk to you though about a distraction that can affect your soul. There's all kinds of distractions you could talk about. But this is the one that, you know, when I was studying, I kind of had a couple others in there, and it kept coming back to this. And it's mainly because when I was distracted, this was where I had to work on, what I had to move up on. And most of you would probably assume my biggest distraction from reading, praying, devotion would be kids. You know, that, I guess maybe I'm thinking that should be my biggest distraction. But in all honesty, this is the biggest distraction. And we've talked about how some are different for people. Well, this is a very common one that almost all of us are affected by. Even if it's not a phone, there's computers, tablets, you know. And I want to challenge you guys to examine your habits as I talk with, you know, phone, computer, whatever your electronic device, because, you know, phones are awesome. You know, the technology has come so far, and, you know, I enjoy it. We all enjoy it. There are things like, you know, I think you can take pictures anytime, anywhere. You know, it's great, especially memories and things. Can't be anytime, especially, you know, you don't have to lug around a camera and all this. Long-distance friendships. One of my best friends lives in Oregon, and she's been friends with me since here in Young People's. And we text daily, talk daily. You know, there's different ways to communicate. I haven't used an atlas in years. I mean, what's the point anymore? You just type in an address and you go. You don't even have to plan ahead. I hardly write any checks, which, I mean, some of you guys aren't quite to this, but I'm just saying there are very big benefits to it, you know, and it's all great stuff, you know, for researching. I think of you guys in school, you know, it's much easier than, I'm not even that old, but I still remember in middle school, we had a card catalog system. I don't know if you guys, it's like little drawers you pull out, tons of index cards. I mean, that's how you research. That's, you couldn't just Google a simple question. All this is great, but it can be addicting, and it can be a huge distraction spiritually. I know personally, because over time, I could feel that pull working on me. And so I'm not saying this as a, like, you guys need to work on this. No, it's, I had to work on it, and I had to deal with it, and then the thoughts kept rolling, and it, you know, it's just been something I've really looked into, and I've really felt that's very important. Sometimes I want to give you a little scenario of what a day can be like. Now, some of you guys have parents that thankfully really do restrict or, you know, help you manage the constant pull. You know, as parents, they can put up guidelines, and but then some maybe don't have as much, or you're past that phase. But sometimes one of the first things you do in the morning is we wake up to our cell phone alarm clocks. So you just roll over and you turn off your alarm. Now, it's so easy. What is the habit almost always to do? Swipe, and there you are, just laying in bed. You turned off your alarm, but you have the whole world now at your fingertips. And sometimes the problem with that can be before your feet even hit the floor, you already have the scoop on everyone, everything, what other people did the night before, what they ate, what they, who knows. And your mind is, can be so filled with all this stuff in your mind and cluttered, and just, you may not realize it affects you, but you know, you've seen someone's breakfast, you've read through someone's political rant, drama with this friend and this friend, and it's kind of woof. So you get up, maybe get, make your breakfast, do your thing, have your coffee. Probably don't have coffee like I do, I don't know. But you, and then what is the, you know, then it's so easy to sit back down. Maybe it's just your brother across from you at the table, and you know, if it's anything like my kids, you're not really wanting to talk. It's like box of cereal in the middle, and you're, and it's so easy to just pick it up and swipe. You're like, oh, look, everyone else is awake now too, and there are more updates to check, more snaps to snap back, funny things to forward to that one person, and retweet this. You know, it's just, it can really, before you know it, you sat there for 45 minutes and you're like, ah, I gotta get going. You know, so you get your shower, get to school, work, whatever you do. This is just like a scenario. I'm not saying you all do this, but but what I'm wondering, and what God was working with me on, is that morning spot. What have I checked in with God? You know, have I, what does he want from me today? What does he have for me? And Psalms 5 and 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And I do, you know, we got to think, are we looking towards heaven in the morning? And, you know, not that we always have a long time in the morning, but the, what little bit of time we do have before school, work, chores, whatever, you know, you need to do, what have we taken time to check in with the Lord? Psalms 143 and 8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And in the morning, we can miss out on hearing his loving kindness in the morning. We can miss his guidance for the day. And, you know, we can check the habit. If you're in a habit of it, you can pick up the phone, can be used so much. You know, texting friends, you know, sending funny things, games. I don't really know what games are popular right now on phones, but, you know, there's all kinds of little games you can play. This is one of my favorites, and maybe one of where I had to work on. It's hard, spontaneous thoughts. Like, for an example, I'm just kind of making this scenario up. Like, you can say, what will the weather be Friday night for this bonfire? And say, oh, okay, AccuWeather says 70%, okay? And you're like, let me check Weather Channel. And then you're scrolling, okay, and then you're like, oh, wow, they have uploaded a new video of a tornado in Kansas, blah, blah, blah. It's only a minute long. I'm going to watch that. Okay, this is, when you get older, this is the things that interest you. We may or may not have done this many times, okay? So then you're like watching this. It's only a minute, you know? And then the kids pile on, you're all like, well, okay. And then you think like, okay, that was it. Wow, they said that was an E3 tornado. And you're like, what's that? Google, what is an E3? And then you're just like going, like YouTube comes up, like you've got the largest tornado ever, tornado video that promises to show a cow flying. I mean, you can just go. And before you know it, an hour has passed. And everything you can know and want to know is right here. Like, you don't even have to wonder anymore. Like I said, I'm 31. I feel kind of young, but then when I look out, I feel really old. So I don't know. But like, when my daughter was born, see, she's 11 now. She was born with a cleft palate, and it's a birth defect, and I knew nothing about it. And I was thinking of this today. I didn't have Google. I mean, we had computers. I'm joking. We had computers, and we didn't personally have one. I used his dad's. I remember some. But my brother, Andy, went to the library and checked out books for me on clefts. And now that's almost funny now. Like, why would you even have to do that? I mean, there's so much information online. But it's just how times have changed, and now anything you want to know, like anything, you can just quick pick it up, you can do it. Before you know it, time is passing, what you need to do, you'll be distracted. And the devil uses all this innocent and non-sinful things to distract your mind. And I don't know if anyone's ever noticed, if they've been on their phone a while, but your mind almost is like kicked into high gear. Like, you can't slow it down almost. You're just kind of, you know, you've been. And when you try to read and pray, for one, it hasn't been the priority, and you've kind of already had your mind into so much other stuff. If you're not careful, you can rush through and not spend quality time. And I have some, these are some more practical tips. These are things that I have done in my own life. Some of them I still do just as general rules. Some are just when you really feel that pull on you. You kind of just feel that, like, pull off the phone. These are things you can do to kind of get yourself, I don't know how to call it, straight? Or, you know, get your mind quieted. One of the things, this pertains to social media more, that is a big, I feel like, help, is time-wise, saving your time, distraction, is to go through your list of who you follow. Like, and it's not just friends, I'm not saying, but just following. Because if you think about it, if you have 500, let's say, you're following, and a third of them post every day, you know, that's about 167 posts to look at a day for you. And imagine if they post multiple times a day. I mean, that's just a lot to look at, a lot to see, a lot to take in, a lot for your mind to process. And so my suggestion is, clean up your list, kind of who you follow. Declutter it as far as, like, you know, let's say you love to drink Starbucks and you like Starbucks. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to like Starbucks. You know what I mean? Because it will get to where when you have some free time and you're just scrolling, there can be so much information. I mean, just so much information. So, like, people that aren't in real life relation to you, bloggers, celebrities, restaurants, all this stuff, it can kind of add to that cluttered mind. It can add to it. And as far as real friends, I'm not saying defriend each other and all this, but I will tell you of a little tip on, I don't have all the social medias that I know. I do have Instagram and Facebook, and so I'm familiar some with those. On Instagram, there is a feature called muting. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's comparable to on Facebook when you just unfollow someone. You're still their friend. They don't know it, but you're not seeing all their stuff in your feed. And some of that stuff can be really beneficial. Like, if you have a friend that's posting, like, you know, tons of kitten and puppy pictures all day, and you're just like, you see yourself wasting a lot of time trying to get through all this, you know, you can hide that person, or they call it muting or unfollowing, and they won't necessarily know you are. but for your own personal time saving, that can help. Another big one I feel helps is turning off notifications on a phone. I'm not saying texting and calling, obviously, but sometimes you can pick and choose the unnecessary ones, because even when you're trying to read and pray, or you're trying to get your mind into that, if there's a constant, like, the pinging or the dinging or whatever, and even if you have it on silent, it's lighting up, just banners, you know, it sometimes can be coming up telling you, you know, this vlogger has uploaded a new video, and it's stuff that could wait till a later time, but yet, you know, you see it, and you're like, oh, and, you know, like the weather thing, there you go for an hour. You know, you get really sidetracked, and all this stuff keeps you constantly looking in your mind. If sometimes it can consume your mind, it can kind of start to overwhelm you. So along with turning off your notifications, though, designate a time for checking in on those apps. You know, you can have that control to check in. If you turn off the notifications, you're going to it almost, going to the app to look to see what's up when you have some time, instead of it always coming at you, always just bombarding you with, you know. And because there's things like, for instance, on Instagram, I have, you know, direct messages, I think you're all aware of, you know, I don't need the direct messages to come right at me and ding, because, like, it's not real conversation. It's like, I don't know, super funny memes I send to certain people, some, you know, recipes, you know, from other moms, things that don't necessarily, I need to know every second that it happens. You know, when I check in later, I can catch up. But if you designate as time frame, you have more of the control. And you can say, here's an example that kind of goes with the scenario I talked about. I'm not going to check this into all that until after, you know, breakfast and I've spent time with God and maybe done chores or mom has told me to do or something. And what's nice is if you've turned off some of those notifications and things, the entire meal, you could have conversation with your brothers and sisters and family. And also, you're not having that light up the constant coming at you thing. And you can focus on your priorities. And you will find that your mind is a little more still, quiet, and it makes me think of back to Psalms. You can hear his loving kindness in the morning. You can have that sweet time with Jesus one-on-one and get that help you need for the day. And then here's another tip. This is probably sounds a little more extreme, but I have actually done it many times. When you feel, if you're starting to feel like distracted, just kind of want to reset, kind of want to break, there's also the feature where you can just delete the app from your phone. That doesn't mean you deleted your account, you haven't changed anything as far as followers, following, but it's not as, you can't just tap go, you know, it's deleted for a period of time. Just, you know, you could try it for a day, or maybe you have a really busy afternoon, you want to focus on things you need to do and your mind's feeling cluttered, you can delete the app. And, you know, when you're back home, Wi-Fi, it downloads right away. You just sign right back in. You know, it picks up right where you left off. But those are some things you can do if you're struggling with time management and just focusing. let's see, a last tip also I have is making sure, this one is one that I think is really important for everyone, is when you read the Bible, to make sure you do include reading an actual Bible, like Bible paper, because the Bible app is awesome. I use it a lot. I used it for this. You know, it's easy to find scriptures if you know, rather than the concordance, like in these, it's harder to find. You can just search in a word. It's very easy. You can compare scriptures to different versions of Bibles. But it's so good to have this a Bible that you can highlight and you can write little side notes. I have had this Bible since I was 16. It was a birthday present. And it's been with me through a lot. You know, this has been my Bible. You know, I have ones I use like at church, I just leave at the seat to read. But this one is where I find my most comfort. This one has highlights, it has asterisks, side notes, dates of specific trials I went through, and you know, certain scriptures that I've held on to in that trial. And it can be more personal sometimes. And it's less distracting. If your phone's not in your hand, it's much easier to focus on this and not swipe over to check on that, you know. Right. And it's basically an old-fashioned lifeline and comfort in a very high-tech world. Yeah. And I think see, when I was in Young People's, there wasn't as much high tech. And this was when I was newly saved and going through hard times of life. This is what I had and what I clung to. And I just really want to encourage you all to go ahead and, if you have a Bible that you love, you know, use it, highlight it, write little notes in it, use it. The phone is really good for, like, when you're on the road, when you're, you know, in a waiting room, things to catch up on Bible or want to look at something real quick. But for devotion and stuff, it's nice to use a real Bible. And in closing, I just want to mention, if you're in a rut and you feel like this might pertain to you in some ways, I encourage you to get out of the rut. You know, if you feel your mind is distracted and you know your devotions aren't really what they should be and you're just kind of maybe choosing to do other things instead, you know, you can get out of the rut. And one thing I know about a literal rut, like a car stuck in mud or something, you have to push on the gas and accelerate, right? And if that don't happen, someone strong has to come push and you accelerate at the same time, and it takes more work. It's not just like, oh, I'm in a rut, whoops. You know, a lot of times it takes work to get out. And consider using these tips maybe to be the acceleration, you know, if you're struggling. And not necessarily all the tips, but like if something came to your mind, like, oh, that would be a good idea for me to do for this situation, you know, use that as your acceleration. You know, start that and pray, seek God about it, because he will give you the strength, he'll give the push, he'll help, he can get you out of the rut. And because the biggest danger of this is just distraction long term. If you're not really focusing on your time with Christ, if you're not really taking the devotion, you'll become weaker, you know. Lukewarmness can set in real quick. That's probably one of the first things that can happen. You just feel a little lukewarm. You're not on fire for God. You're not, because you're not communing. You're not hearing him. And you'll become weaker, and you will not hear that still small voice as clear. Psalms, last scripture here, Psalm 19 and 14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer." And I just want to leave you on that thought. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Yes. Oh.